Hey everyone, it's Abdullah Samir. I was invited to the Gin and Tonic show today. It was a lot of fun. I didn't have a lot of time because I was on my lunch break, and so I made it quick. But yeah, it was a blast. I was interviewed and answered some questions on the topic of Islam, and it's a great show. Check it out. You know, focusing on theism, atheism, philosophy, history. Centered around Islam, and so I enjoyed it. I listened for the first time today. I was also on it for the first time, and here's a clip featuring me. Enjoy.
I just want to welcome Abdul Samir. Abdul, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, I saw some of your videos online, and obviously we've chatted and we're on Facebook, and I invited you as an ex-Muslim. We occasionally get ex-Muslims, so I thought it'd be great to hear somebody else. If you haven't subscribed, go and look up Abdullah's channel. He's got about 6,000 subscribers. He talks about Islam, and one of the videos caught my attention was a challenge from Ali Dawa to Abdullah for a debate. And Abdullah, you can maybe just share a little bit about who you are and what happened with that sort of Ali Dawa, because people on this channel know of him, and I meet him down in Speaker's Corner because I'm based in the UK. So over to you.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I was actually invited to this channel long time ago by Pete, the rationalizer. So he asked me quite a while ago if I could come on, and at that time I don't know what happened. I was busy. As you know, I work during the days. I have a job as well. So yeah. So what happened with Ali Dawa? So a little bit of background first of all. I've been an ex-Muslim for 2 years now, just about 2 years. So not very long. And before that, I was Muslim for 15 years. I'm the previous founder and admin of a couple of big Islamic websites. One of them was lightuponlight.com, and the other one is versebyversequran.com. So Light Upon Light is quite successful. It did its part when it was needed, which was to give free Islamic videos to people that wanted to watch online. And I always wanted to make it free of charge and, you know, let people watch, you know, and to gain Islamic content, because I believed in it. And I thought that, you know, this is good for the world. This is a true religion of God. So I wanted to support it. So I spent my time. I used to go from place to place recording videos of my own. I bought some equipment to digitize other videos, which I got permission for, and put them online. And to this day, there's still videos, you know, there's still people that come to me and say, I actually benefited, meaning I became more religious, like including at my office. I met a guy that was like, wow, you're not Muslim, but I actually became religious because of you. So, you know, kind of unfortunate now that I had an impact in that sense, because I don't believe in it anymore. But yeah, over 4 million downloads over the last, I don't know how many years since I started it. I think it was I created it sometime in 2001, 2002, something like that. And then the second big project I had was Verse by Verse Quran. You know, when YouTube came about, people started using YouTube. There wasn't much need for Islamic videos online anymore. I didn't really, you know, maintain the website, but I did find there was a gap where, you know, people that wanted to make Quran apps, it was lacking that there wasn't the, you know, the files weren't there that people needed. So again, because of me, many of the Islamic websites out there, including, you know, the big Quran websites like Quran.com, Tanzil, and, you know, a bunch of apps on iPhone and Android, they use those files from Verse by Verse Quran. So those are some of the Islamic projects I was involved in. I wasn't a scholar. I was just like a religious Muslim, but I believed in it. So I spent, you know, my energy to promote it because I thought it was something good for the world. Of course, now I don't think it's good for the world. So anyways, fast forward 2 years later, you know, I've started to speak about why I left Islam, because I don't want other people to make the same mistake that I made, which was not being critical enough. You know, when I come from a Muslim family. My dad is Ismaili, which is basically a sect of Islam, but a lot of people don't consider them Muslims because they're really modern and it's really different. It's almost like a different religion. So I converted from Ismailism to mainstream Sunni Islam, which is what the majority of Muslims follow, you know, following the Quran, whereas Ismailis don't quite really go by the Quran. So when I converted, I was like, you know, like I said, I became all religious and I wanted to invest all this effort into it. But when I found out, because I wasn't critical enough, I didn't want other people to fall for the same lame arguments that I fell for. You know, things that kind of increased my faith, things like, you know, the Quran has scientific miracles and, you know, the stuff that was popular in the 90s. That stuff actually appealed to me and actually influenced me and, you know, made me feel like Islam is true, and you know, I need to be on God's good side. I mean, this is God's book. You want to be on his good side. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that God, because that guy is going to burn your ass, going to fry your ass if you go against him. And it's true, right? So like, you got to accept it, right? It's true. So and I actually believed my whole life. I mean, from the time I converted, before that I wasn't religious, I believed that the Quran has no mistakes in it. It has no errors in it. It has no contradictions in it. Everything in the Quran is the word of God. So I was like, you know, following it until, you know, it all came crashing down when I started to become critical. Think of it, you know, I was becoming more scientifically literate. You know, I didn't have a background in science. And that's another thing you'll find is people like who don't have a background in science, they fall for this stuff, right? They just don't really understand the way the world works, and they read these things and they fall for like very shallow, you know, arguments for Islam, you know, very shallow ways of promoting it. And I was one of those people that fell for it. So I didn't want anyone else to fall for it. So, you know, I started to speak about what I now believe, which is there is no God. And even if there is a God, it's not, you know, it's not Allah. Allah is the invention of Muhammad. So when this happened, at some point I ran into Ali Dawa. Ali Dawa is, as you know, a kind of blockhead that goes around, you know, insulting people and attacking them and making fun of ex-Muslims. And, you know, he's like so, you know, haughty toddy that I'm going to debate you, and I'm going to expose you. You're a fake ex-Muslim, you fake ex-Muslim, you know. And so I'm like, I don't really want to debate, you know. I'm like, not interested in that. Like, that's not my thing. You know, I already made my arguments on my blog. Just go on my blog, you know, you can see all my points. And when I started to ask him the actual points that I had on my blog, he never responded to them. He was kind of like, just brushed them off. He's like, whatever. Yeah, whatever. But he kept pushing me for the debate. So what he wanted to do and what he thought he was going to do was he thought, yeah, I'm not going to respond to this guy's points because this guy's just going to go back and forth, back and forth. And what I want to do is I want to humiliate him in front of everyone. And I want to show everybody that this guy knows nothing. He's just a fake ex-Muslim. So, you know, he kept pushing me. And at first he pushed me. He's like, I'm going to send you tickets. We'll send you tickets. We'll pay for the tickets. You calm down and we'll host you and we'll have a talk, right? Then I'm like, well, not really interested in coming to UK right now. And, you know, like, why do we need to do that? That's why we have the internet. Like, and he's like, okay. Then let's just have a dialogue online. And first it was like, let's have a private discussion with the scholars. And of course, you know what? I've learned the hard way. You never trust people like that that say they want to have private conversations, because their private conversations means, you know, put the record button on and then upload it after the parts that they like. So it's like, yeah, like you want to have public you want to have a private conversation. So I said, okay, let's just do it publicly. Like, eventually, you know, he kept pushing me and said, I'm going to expose you. You're a coward. You're fake. I'm going to expose you for what you are. And then he's like, you know, I'm like, okay, you know what? Hell with it. You want to have a debate? Freak, let's have a debate. Like, you know what? You've pushed me so much and I didn't want to do it, but I wasn't confident and, you know, I didn't feel like doing it. And I'm like, but finally I was like, okay, fine. Let's do this thing. And then next thing you know, like, I'm like, okay, well, when do you want to do it? Like, give me a date, right? And then, like, all of a sudden, out of the blue, he's like, you just want to become famous. I'm not going to debate you. And guess what? I'm going to block you, too. So that was the end of it. It was like, what? Like, you, after you made such a big, you know, show of this, now you don't want to debate me? Like, what was that about? Like, so yeah, that's what happened.
Goodness, yeah. And I know, Ali, and some of your characterization is definitely true. You know, and there's videos of me having a chat to him in Speaker's Corner. But I'll go down and I will ask him on camera, face to face, if he's prepared to do a hangout with you, if you still want to. Obviously, if you don't want to waste your time, and I can understand that, we don't need to. But I would host like a hangout like this. He and you are on, and I'll moderate it, and everybody can watch it live. Because he's barely a student, and of course, he's got these other guys that come down who have supposedly learned more about Islam. So he's always going off to his teachers, who include Hamza Tortoise and others, who you're probably quite familiar with. So those are his teachers. But he's very loud and very brash in Speaker's Corner. And he comes with very simplistic arguments. Now, to ignorant people, they sound eminently reasonable. But like you say, as soon as you start, and you said two wonderful things. Number one, you said you started to think critically and analyze things critically. And you said, oh, I had a science background. Now, those two things are the antidote to Islam or theology in general, which is obviously what you've done so well. And so anything like that, I've got an hour and 20 video with an expert in cosmology talking to Ali Dawa and his buddy. And I've listened back to it and I've edited it. And if you just listen to it, it's an education for those of us who want to understand a little bit more about the universe or whatever it is. They had no idea. And the objections that were brought out by his colleague, who, you know, supposedly knows more than him, had nothing to do with cosmology. So I think it's willful ignorance in a sense that I don't want to learn too much because it might shake my faith.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And yeah, if you wanna ask him for that discussion, like the challenge or whatever you wanna call it is still open. The invitation for dialogue is still there. Like, it doesn't have to even be a debate. You just have a discussion. We can be like, hey man, you know, why don't you believe in Islam? I'll be like, yeah, I don't believe because of this. And I'll be like, you tell me why you believe, and I'll tell you why I disagree. And let's just have a conversation. May the best man win. You know, it's like, that where does that come from? You know, where the best man may the best man win. If you can't even have a discussion, like, you know what I'm saying? If you can't even sit down together and talk about it, like, it's like you've lost by default. It's just like, well, you love to go. And I've noticed that these, you know, these da'is, these proselytizers, they're very happy to go on the street and to discuss with random people that haven't studied these things. And like, even if they're atheists, it doesn't mean all atheists have studied like cosmology and science and history and philosophy. And you know, some of these people, they haven't thought about these things before, right? So like, when it comes to like a stranger that doesn't know anything, they're like really happy to discuss with them and make a big video saying, look, I refuted this atheist and this and that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to someone that's like spent a little bit of time, now we're talking 2 years, I mean, like, seriously, like, I'm a nobody. Like, why is he so scared of me? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I've been atheist my whole life and I'm in deep, you know, sunken in this disbelief and I've like studied, you know, philosophy today. I don't even know philosophy. I'm just like a normal guy. I have a normal job. I was a religious guy and now I'm not a religious guy and I have a few points to make and that's it. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing to be scared of. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's to be scared of? I'm a simple guy like me. But apparently, you know, even a little bit of knowledge now is scary. The guy that knows a little bit, let's just stay away from this guy. And unfortunately, my reputation is kind of preceding me and nobody wants to have a discussion anymore, which is, to me, it's sad. Like, but if you can organize that, I would love that. I would be so happy. If you can find a Muslim, a theist, whatever it is, just to have a conversation, not to make the guy look dumb. You know what I mean? Like, just let's just have a conversation and let's you know, bring your points and I'll bring my points and we, you know, that way we can see the mutual benefits and the strengths and weaknesses of both arguments. It's that simple, right? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're right. Maybe there is a God. Maybe Allah is the God of all of the creation.
But maybe not make it debate or whatever. Just make it an exchange of ideas. Yes. And that is it, to keep it simple. Because obviously people are frightened of you. Because anybody who knows Islam obviously is a threat. Because they cannot come with their bullshit arguments. They cannot come and say, well, it says there that you know, if you kill a person, you've killed the whole world. Because obviously you will laugh at them. So they can't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you. So when I go down to Speaker's Corner, my intention is not to make somebody look foolish. I'm like yourself. I'm not well educated in any sense, but I am a critical thinker like yourself. So I'm an atheist and I'm originally from South Africa. You might tell the accent. And so I go down and I've got the Speaker's Corner UK channel. And, you know, and so that's my intention. But you're right. There are Muslims out there that go out there specifically to make propaganda type videos. And this is not all Muslims. And I'm also very careful not to say all Muslims because I've met a number of them. They're not all foolish. They're not all uneducated or ignorant or anything like that. And, you know, some of them genuinely believe what they believe and they're going out there to try and share the message. I got no problem speaking to those people. In fact, those are the people I want to speak to. But there are people who are willfully ignorant or dishonest or disingenuous. And there's some videos on the channels where I've had those interactions as well. And so you're absolutely right. I would say to Ali, hey, Ali, do you want to come on and have a discussion? This isn't a debate. This isn't like 10 minutes each way. You rebut. I let the two of you have a conversation unless somebody's just interrupting the other guy nonstop. Other than that, have a free flow of ideas between you because I think that's where the real power is. That's what we do in Speaker's Corner. So it could be like a digital version of Speaker's Corner where you guys have at it and I'll only cut in on rare occasions and just bring up the questions from people. And I think that's where the value can be had because you're right. Winning and losing, how do you win or lose? You either move towards truth or you don't. But there's a lot of tactics I notice, especially on in Speaker's Corner, and I suppose to some degree on online debates, where there's it's got to win. Even if I don't have truth, I must sound like I've won in some way, whatever that means, and then I can go back to my followers and you know proclaim that I've won something. Which is so I like your approach as well.
And I have to say that it does feel disingenuous when people are willing to debate less educated, you know, people that haven't studied it, but they won't debate someone that's actually thought about these things. It feels dishonest to me. Like, you know, there's one guy that was refused to have a discussion with me. I'm not going to mention his name. And then I found out that he's going to have a discussion with someone else. That's like, but this other guy he's going to have a discussion with is not like a known entity like I am. He's just some guy that doesn't, that left Islam. And it's like, I was surprised.
Go the two of you.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, he's going to have a debate with you, but not me. Like, what's up with that? Like, I thought he told me he's not interested in having debates with ex-Muslims. I'm like, weird. Like, and I'm like, why does he want to discuss with you? And the guy's like, yeah, to be honest, simply speaking, he thinks I don't know anything. So he's ready to like debate me just because he thinks I know nothing. I'm like, wow. Like, that's dishonesty. Like, you know what I mean? That feels wrong. Like, you know what I mean? You're just picking on targets, easy targets, right? And that doesn't look right.
I agree. And they, like I said, there's a number of Muslims who it's propaganda. They've got to seem like they must win it, or at least they are very fearful of losing in the sense of whatever losing means to them. Whereas for the rest of us, we want to, well, and I'm sure it's all of us on the panel here, we want to know what's true. Even if it's uncomfortable, it's what we don't like. Like you said, if Allah existed, I would have to accept it if there was a overwhelming evidence for it or knockdown argument or whatever the case is. I go, okay, you know, I'd have to accept it. I wouldn't want a relationship with that supposed God because I think it's irrationally immoral. So I wouldn't want anything to do with it if he existed. I would consider myself and all of us to have better morality. And if we were gods, we could structure things way different. So, but I would have to accept it. And it's the same with other beliefs. But there are, like you say, very dogmatic people who have got a conclusion. Everything must fit that conclusion. And then when you point this out, of course, they try and dance around that.
Yeah, and did you see the interaction I had with that guy, Na'matullah Ichami'i? Did you see that?
Is that on your channel?
Oh, my God. You got to watch that. That was, I had so much fun making that video. This guy, he's like another Ali Dawa, but like maybe even less knowledgeable than him. And he came and he made a video about me saying, this guy, he's such a stupid idiot. You know, atheists are such idiots, you know, they don't know anything, like, ah, ha, ha. And he's like, I was laughing so hard when I found out this guy left Islam, this idiot. And I won't ruin it for you, but just watch the video. It's, he put himself in such a corner because he did the same thing as Ali Dawa, like, except he did it on video. So I was like, wow, man, like you challenged me on video and then you backed out, like, this is not going to go well. So yeah, check out that video if you get a chance. I think you will highly enjoy the thing. And now he's kind of like, he blocked me as well. So he blocked me and he blocks anyone that tells him, by the way, you got made, you look bad now. He just blocks anyone and deletes a comment. So he knows he's lost. And the funny thing is he decided to take the same approach of Ali Dawa, that I don't want to make you famous, because he saw my post about Ali Dawa, right? So then he decided to say the same thing. Oh, I don't want to make you famous. And the funny thing is now, like, if you Google his name, one of the first results is the video of me and him. So I made him famous in a bad way.
Yeah, infamous, I guess. Which video? I'm just looking at your channel so that I can put it in the link for everybody who's interested. Which video would that be? What's the title? It's
Na'matullah, Nematullah. So it's like Na'matullah.
Ex-Muslim responds to Na'matullah.
Yes.
29
yes,
minutes.
That's the one. It's long, unfortunately, because the guy goes on and on and on. But like literally it's the first 10 minutes that's like the most fun. And then after that, I decided to just go into his points one by one, if in case anyone really wants to care. He goes on about, you know, we can't see oxygen and we can't see electricity, but we still believe in them. You know, kind of like very, very rudimentary creationist arguments. But I, you know, I responded to him just for the sake of responding, because I didn't want to just make it look like I'm just responding to his debate thing, but I wanted to actually respond to his point. So you don't, like, people don't have to watch the whole video. It's there for whoever cares, but it's really the first 10 minutes that really he goes back and forth with me, which is the most interesting.
But that's the one where you're responding to him, and there's like two pictures, yes, you on the right and him on,
yes,
the left.
Yep. Yes, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Fantastic. I know you're still working and on a break, so I don't want to take up too much.
Yes, I gotta go. Yeah.
Quick question for you, one last one before you go, and hopefully you join us again in future. What was the biggest reason that made a change for you? So you obviously became an ex-Muslim. Was it a number of things over a period of time? Or was there like one thing that you went, no? Like some other ex-Muslims have gone, no, slavery, and Muhammad had slaves, that for me is a deal breaker, I'm out. So what was it for you?
So the first thing that happened was 3 years ago, there was a guy that posted something on Facebook. He's like, I almost became Muslim. And then I found out that the stories in the Quran, they were copied from Jewish myths. And I'm like, right away, Dawah man, like not Dawah man, but like Dawah guy that wants to help this guy to become Muslim because he almost became Muslim. I said, no. But you know, the stories in the Quran, they're actually true stories. Even if they're copied from Jewish myths, actually those Jewish myths are true myths. And he's like, no. I'm not talking about like revealed religion. I'm talking about like Talmud, like stories of rabbis, like, you know what I mean? Like they made them up. Those type of stories that ended up in the Quran, right? And I'm like, what? Like, are you serious, man? So I started to look into it. This was 3 years ago. And eventually I started having doubts at this point. But then I blocked it from my mind. I'm like, you know, I talked to my wife and she was Muslim and she's still Muslim. And she's like, no, you shouldn't have doubts about these things. Just let it go. You know, Islam is beautiful, whatever. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I let it go. I just put it in the back of my mind. I just zipped it up and, you know, threw away the key. I'm like, yeah, forget it. I'm not going to think about these things. Then 1 year after that, it all came flooding back to me in Ramadan when I was sitting in the masjid, in the mosque, and the imam was going on about, you know, the heaven, the sky is held up without any pillars. And, you know, scientists, they so think they're so smart and they say this is wrong. And and I'm like, oh, crap. And it all came back on me. I'm like, this is, you know, it's troubling me, right? It was a mental disconnect with what I'm seeing in the world and what the Quran is saying is not in agreement. So it was causing me a cognitive dissonance. It was causing me pain in my brain that how can I believe in this and also believe in that? And I didn't know how to reconcile the two. So that's when I started to go 100% into it and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to find out, is this true? And it started off with the science in the Quran, and not science in the Quran as in the Quran teaches us science that, you know, the Quran says, you know, molecular physiology or molecular biology is like this and water is H2O, not like that, but just the way the Quran describes, you know, the heavens and the earth being joined, and the Quran describes how the sky is being held up, and the Quran describes how a piece of the sky, you know, falling down, like, you know, it makes these funny comments that don't make any sense to someone living in today's world. And you know, little by little, I started to see that everything in the Quran, you know, reflected the understanding of the people at that time. And then one by one, I started to look into each of the miracle claims I believed in, the embryology, the miracle of Pharaoh's body being discovered, the stories of Jesus, like everything, one after another. I'm like, it was falling down, domino after, it was like a dominoes, right? Mm-hmm. And so the morality issues, slavery in the Quran, I just accepted that God's religion, he can say whatever he wants, no matter how immoral it sounds to me, I just accepted it. So that wasn't an issue for me. The issue was the cognitive dissonance that was caused by the Quran describing the world in a way that makes absolutely no sense. So that's what started it, and that's what made the whole house of cards topple in my case.
Brilliant. Okay.
You have time for one last question.
Sure, please. Let's do it, yeah.
One thing I have, would you say that the chances of somebody going into this cognitive dissonance are higher the more they learn and the more deeper they go into Islam and into the Quran? What I'm asking is, normally, like Ali Dawah and those people, they don't really know the Quran. They pick a couple of things and that's what they go on about, but they don't really know the contents of the Quran. Would you say that the deeper you go, because there's a guy, converted to Islam.
Yeah, Abu Ismail.
He left, and he's saying the same thing. That the deeper I went, the more I questioned it. Would you say this is true?
So Abu Ismail is a guy converted to Islam. He became Christian. So what I've noticed is with Christian ex-Muslim Christians, they tend to focus on the morality issues. And the reason they do that is because they can't pick on the fact that Quran, like, it talks about the sky being held up and how it talks about the heavens and earth being joined, and how, you know, they can't talk about the ayahs and the Quran in relation to the universe because the Bible has the same problems. So what they do is they focus on making Muhammad into a moral monster. Now, of course, there are a lot of terrible, terrible things he did, but that's pretty much all they talk about, because they can't talk about the other things because their religion has the same problems. And if they do, well, they just look like fools, because, like, how can you pick on those things in the Quran and ignore the same things in the Bible? So converted to Islam, Abu Ismail, yeah, that's his focus. And your question is kind of a tough one. I really don't know. I think it's something that's totally different from, like, it's a different attribute altogether. Maybe it's, you know, bravery. Maybe it's courage to reconsider your opinion. Maybe it's, you know, the way you think, you know what I mean? Like, because at the end of the day, you could be as literate in science as being one of the advisors to the president, and you still believe, you don't believe in climate change. You know what I'm saying? Because it goes against your holy books kind of claims or whatever, right? So it's like, I think it's the mental disconnect is there for everybody, but some people are willing to confront it, and that's a personality thing. And I think some people are just not willing to confront and not to face their fears, and they'll just keep it in the back of their mind because they're scared of what will happen if they just let go, right? You know what I mean? Like, and I mentioned this in one of my last, you know, live talk, that Jordan Peterson, and, you know, he goes on about, you know, this nihilism, this fear of nihilism, and this fear of, like, morality going to hell and people just going crazy. I think a lot of religious people have these fears. They're scared that if I lose my faith in God, then I'm just going to become, like, morally corrupt. And it's not true. It's not true at all. But I think this is a fear that's in people's minds. Maybe.
Yeah, okay, I agree with you. Yeah, I think the fear of hell and what will happen if I die is a big thing that weighs on people. And I've spoken to some other people who are kind of on the fence about Islam, and that's one of the things that it is for them. Very few people come along and say, the reason I believe is because there's overwhelming evidence that Allah exists through the Quran. It's not that. It's normally something else. Now, they've learned the arguments, but that's not the real, you know, emotional or the real attachment. Yeah,
and I think that's a good point, because if someone like me comes along and they truly believe, and then someone shows them and they have the mental courage to reconsider their position, that will become an ex-Muslim, right? Like, right there. So you have people that they do think it's true, but they're not willing to reconsider the opinion because maybe there's some, you know, other personal reasons in their life. Like, I always think of Yasir Qadhi, that this guy is on his way to becoming agnostic, but he would have to be the last person to become agnostic because everything in his life would become destroyed, completely, you know, ruin his life if he left Islam, right? So I think some people have those, you know, the life situation doesn't allow it, so they don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, quite probably. Abdullah, thank you so much for coming on. I mean, you could stay on for another hour, I know, but you've got to shoot off and go back to
work.
Yes,
I got to go.
So again, we'll be on and we'll be in contact on Facebook. I'd love to have you back for a longer time. So much appreciated. Yes. There's so much we can talk about. Thank you so much. Hope to see you again.
Maybe next week, same bat time, same bat channel. I'll try my best.
Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Cheers. Take care, Rob. Thanks, guys. Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I recognized myself in his story there.
Like, which part?
When he called about cognitive dissonance, like how you see all these things, like you really struggle with all the things you read in Quran and the Hadith, and you one part of your brain like sees that this is impossible, but you still struggle to cling on to the religion, cling on to your beliefs, until it becomes impossible.
What was it for you, Abu? What was the reason you clinged on, even when you could see that there was a conflict going on? Why did you? Because you didn't stay because of the conflict. Obviously, there was a conflict. But what was it for you that sort of made you go, okay, well, I'm going to try and ignore the conflict, or I'm not going to pay that much attention, or whatever it was? What was the big thing for you?
No, madam, I was very deeply, very deeply religious. And I, so I kind of... I prayed to God that God would cure my so-called shubuhat,